fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Chain hits my chest when I'm banging on the dashboard. My chain hits my chest when I'm banging on the
dashboard. Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Happy to say that I've got Anya in the booth with me, and we are going to be joined this hour by two of Civic Media's own, the hosts of Raised in Wisco, none other than Joel Clefish and Danielle Friedman. So excited to be doing that. Then I'm going to hang around for a little bit with them after my show's over. But in all seriousness, got to just jump right into some things here. First of all, I watch a little bit of TV now and again. Have y'all seen this commercial for kids' toys? They're Hess trucks. These things sell for like $50 a piece. And these Hess trucks, it's like all police vehicles, okay? That's what it is. And the current ad that's running, it's like you buy the truck thing and you get a... This is from their website now. The, quote, heavy-duty dual-axle police truck is a geared-up, green-colored, tactical, support-enhanced vehicle. So it's like a tactical police vehicle? Why am I talking about this? Oh, by the way, there are 55 different red and blue light features, and they've got all kinds of sirens, and oh, there's a slide-out battering ram. Why am I talking about this? It had kind of lodged in my brain because there's been a lot of sort of media and Hollywood entertainment descriptions and depictions of law enforcement over many years. A lot of folks refer to it as the law and order effect, whereby we think everybody is Olivia Benson. Right, like fighting for the victims, you know, very always following the letter of the Constitution, consulting with the attractive, always female assistant district attorneys. And it glamorized and it gave us almost what I would argue is a really idealized version of the police. These were, you know, it's Lenny Briscoe, baby's dad from Dirty Dancing, like that guy you trust, right? Dennis Farina, guy who always plays a gangster or a cop, was in this old show, Crime Story. These were people that, even where they had personal flaws, these people fought for us. Fight for regular people. And it made us all feel really good about the police and district attorneys and law enforcement agencies. And I think that's all fine. Now, there's actually a bit of a dirty underside to that. I'm not going to get into that now because I've got other things I want to talk about today, including the recently introduced GOP Assembly Bill 641. And if you want to know about Dick Wolf's political proclivities, there's Google. Very interesting backstory on Law and Order. But my point here is, I grew up, because of my whiteness, the privilege I had, you know, never having ever conceived that I could ever have a negative interaction with the police. Inherent trust, without question, unquestioning inherent trust, faith, if you will, near religion style faith in law enforcement agencies and police. Obviously, as I have matured and grown up and had some different sorts of experiences, my view has become more nuanced and complicated. And just like any group of people with an extraordinary amount of power, you don't take it on faith. You got to ask for accountability. You got to seek greater transparency, all those things. And I've been humbled and opened my mind to the fact that the whiteness of my skin gives me a privilege, a freedom, a comfort with which I move through the world that not everybody else enjoys. especially Black folks. So I just, you know, we glamorize law enforcement in many ways. These trucks, this tactical vehicle with a battering ram and 55 different lights and all kinds of different sirens is a children's toy that we will give for Christmas. It's a military vehicle, folks. It's like a Humvee, basically, with a battering ram. This is a child's toy. This is the police. It's fine if the police are just like the military. That's the message. Law and order. You can always trust the police. There's no problem there. Religious-like reverence and faith extended nearly without question for decades and decades and decades. And then cell phone videos and body cameras. We're having different conversations now. This was not what I was going to talk about today, by the way, but as I was sitting waiting for my show to start, an article popped up on my phone. This is a New York Times investigative report. The title of the article is "How a Goon Squad of Deputies Got Away with Years of Brutality." And I started reading it and I thought, nope, this is what we're going to talk about. So here goes. This is reporting by Brian Howie and Nate Rosenfield, just published minutes ago by the New York Times. For nearly two decades, a loose band of sheriff's deputies roamed impoverished neighborhoods across a central Mississippi county, meeting out their own version of justice. Narcotics detectives and patrol officers, some whom called themselves the Goon Squad, barged into homes in the middle of the night, accusing people inside of dealing drugs. Then they handcuffed them or held them at gunpoint and tortured them into confessing or providing information, according to dozens of people who say they witnessed the assaults. Witnesses described violence that sometimes went on for hours and seemed intended to strike terror into the deputies' targets. In the pursuit of drug arrests, deputies of the Rankin County Sheriff's Department shocked Robert Jones with a taser in 2018 while he lay submerged in a flooded ditch, then rammed a stick down his throat until he vomited blood. During a raid the same year, deputies choked Michael Hobson with a lamp cord and waterboarded him to simulate drowning, then beat him until the walls were spattered with his blood. That raid took place at the home of Rick Loveday, a sheriff's deputy in a neighboring county, who said he was dragged half naked from his bed. This is a sheriff's deputy that this happened to, who said he was dragged half naked from his bed at gunpoint before deputies jabbed a flashlight threateningly at his buttocks and then pummeled him relentlessly. The string of violence might have continued unchecked if not for one near fatal raid in January, according to a Justice Department investigation. Deputies broke into the home of two Black men, Michael Jenkins and Eddie Parker, shocked them with tasers and threatened to rape them. Deputy Hunter Elward then shoved the barrel of a gun into Mr. Jenkins' mouth, not realizing that a bullet was in the chamber, and pulled the trigger. Mr. Jenkins was grievously injured. The incident was thrust into the national spotlight, and in August, five deputies and a police officer pleaded guilty to criminal charges. The article goes on, and it quotes the sheriff of Rankin County claiming, I didn't know any of this was going on. I'm disgusted and shocked by all of this criminal activity. And that's where the investigative journalism part kicks in, because they went through hundreds of court records. And it is simply a lie that the sheriff of this county didn't have some idea that something so egregious, so extreme, such an extraordinary violation of civil rights and constitutional rights had been going on for a long time in Rankin County, because lawsuits repeatedly alleged it and had witness accounts substantiating those. So I ask you, why is it presumptively okay to glorify any sector of government, any group of people with this kind of power? Especially when for so many decades we reflexively on faith in a near religious sort of reverence simply trusted. But now we have information that draws that faith, that reverence, that unequivocal, unquestioning, unblinking trust into question, stories like these. This is extreme, I grant you. But it was persistent, it was known, and it was participated in by over 20 different officers over years. That kind of betrayal, it's beyond betrayal of trust. It's inhuman. It's torture. It's human rights abuses at the most grotesque level. And just so that we all don't, oh, well, that doesn't, those things don't happen here. I've been from Milwaukee, born and raised here, lived here a very long time. Yes. Do you remember the body cavity search cases? Because I do. Drug interdiction, violent crime interdicting cops that were in a particular unit. And most police departments have these high intensity drug trafficking. They got all these cool names for these special units. These guys strip searched and did cavity searches of grown men, not yet guilty of a crime, in public on the street. That happened at MPD within the last 10 years. So I just, maybe let's not give out the militarized police vehicles as Christmas presents to toddlers. I don't know, just a thought. Maybe we don't take shows like Law and Order as biblical truth, just a thought. Maybe we actually engage in having a nuanced, complicated, difficult decision, because I know a whole number of cops personally, and they are friends of mine, and they do incredible work every day, and I will be forever grateful for their service. But the ones that act like the goon squad, because they exist, we got to be able to talk about. When I come back, I'm going to tell you about Assembly Bill 641. You're not going to believe it, because I certainly didn't. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hands up, hands high. Don't go screaming if I blow you with a bang. Ah, suki suki, I'm coming in the Cherokee gasoline. There's steam on the window screen, take it, take it. Wheels bouncing like a trampoline. When I get to where I'm going, gonna have you trembling. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast, die young, bad girls do it well. Live fast.
Produced by Civic Media.
To the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Go get that app. It's free. But if you don't want the app and you're sitting at home right now, you can also listen to me on your Alexa devices. You just need to talk at the thing. And by the way, if you don't know this about your Alexa device, you can go on the Alexa app and you can change the voice to a man's voice and you can rename the thing Ziggy, which I have done because I get to boss a guy around at home. It's fun. You can listen to me on Alexa, tell all your friends. You can call me up on Spotify. You can catch the old episodes there, too. Lots of ways to access the Maggie Dawn Show. Donald Trump claimed yesterday, and I'm going to get to Assembly Bill 641 in a second, but this is just too rich. Donald Trump claimed yesterday that BLM is now pro-Trump, Black Lives Matter, pro-Trump, because this guy, Mark Fisher, who claims to be the co-founder of BLM Rhode Island, went on Fox and said he loves Trump. I love the man. How could you not like a real man, Mr. Fisher said. How could you not relate to someone like that? And he basically said, Black people need to, this is his words, not mine, Black people need to start pivoting off the Democratic plantation. We've been slaves to that party. Actually, we've been mental slaves, afraid to get off that plantation. And so then Donald Trump went on about this. Of course, this guy is not an actual leader of the Black Lives Matter movement, never was. He just set up a S Corp in Rhode Island that says BLM, RI, Inc. BLM had to denounce him. His organization is illegitimate, not in any way connected to the righteous BLM community fighting to protect and save Black lives. Continuing to call Mark Fisher a Black Lives Matter leader is disingenuous and inappropriate. And in case anybody has forgotten, here's what Donald Trump has actually said about BLM. It's a symbol of hate. They're spreading violence in our cities, and they are supporters of an organization called Black Lives Matter, or BLM. It's hurting the Black community. And he asked the Biden administration in June 2022, I didn't know this, Donald Trump, not president, asked the Biden administration to have the federal government step in to basically dismantle BLM because they are turning our communities into war zones. BLM and Antifa burn down cities, kill people, and nothing happens to them. I actually thought Kyle Rittenhouse killed somebody and nothing happened to him, but maybe those are alternative facts. Now BLM's pro-Trump. I mean, who knew? Who knew? Okay, Assembly Bill 641. I just, the news is, it's just a never-ending cycle of I can't believe what I'm reading. But, you know, GOP Republicans in our state assembly, very, very concerned about these books that young people are reading. Goodness, because apparently they don't know that kids now all have phones. There's the internet and there's internet porn. But let's worry about the books, the words. The words are the problem, not the interwebs. That's fine. So they introduced Assembly Bill 641. And here's what it does. It requires public libraries within 24 hours of anything being checked out by a child aged 15 or younger. It requires libraries within 24 hours to report a list of the items checked out by anyone aged 15 or under to their parents. Say what? I'm sorry, when did Margaret Atwood's writing become, like, there's some great scourge or, like, troublesome trajectory of youth now that they're reading Handmaid's Tale? Like, what exactly is it, people, about the words? So, here's what I've got in my head, because we know this is going to happen if this gets passed. And thank God there's Governor Evers and he would veto this nonsense. You'd have some kid who maybe isn't certain about their gender or their sexual preference, or is just curious, check out something that's been vetted by professional educational specialists and librarians and is in a public library. It's not pornography. Checks out a book, has very fundamentalist parents. Parents get the thing and the get the report and the kid gets the crap beaten out of them. That's going to happen. That would happen. I mean, can anybody listening actually make an argument to me that at some point in your life, you didn't go to a book to answer some kind of question that you were too embarrassed to ask a human being? Truly. Because if you never did that, or you never Googled something that you weren't too embarrassed to, because that's what a library is. It's the written down version of that. You can't trust librarians and we got a police report out. By the way, the idea of libraries keeping lists of things that people check out is just generally really, really uncomfortable. But no, this is what we need to spend our time doing. Current law, just by way of reference, parents can actually go and request that a library will do this, and the law permits them to do that. Otherwise, the material lists that you check out cannot be disclosed. And what begs question here, and it's not in this bill, is, well, what happens if the librarians don't do this exactly? Like, what's the enforcement mechanism? Because don't you just catch a whiff? We may be a wee bit downwind of the criminal penalties for the librarians that don't do that? Because that would be the next extension. It's thought policing. Doesn't a 15-year-old, a 14-year-old, don't kids have a right to their thoughts to a certain extent? To curiosity, to the ability to check out a book about a subject matter that they're too embarrassed to ask another person about. I don't know. I just don't get it. I just do not get it. But you're gonna want to keep it locked in. I'm going to spend a few minutes talking about Liz Cheney's memoir that just dropped, because boy, there are some whoppers in that sucker. She's not pulling any punches. So I'm going to give you a little highlight reel. We might get Joel and Danielle in here and in the C block, but there's tons more to come on the Maggie Dawn Show. And do not forget, everybody, on Monday, I'm going to be joined by Princeton Professor of Sociology, Catherine Eden. We're going to talk about what universal vouchers actually are and what they are doing to return our public schools to segregated school systems. Keep it locked, everybody, and join our conversation. Text or call 844-967-2789. We'll be back with more after these important messages.
This is Friday Night Game of the Week, featuring the best in Waukesha High School basketball. I am your host, Don Brown, and we are proud to welcome you to Waukesha South High School Fieldhouse, where our hometown Blackshirts face 2023 state finalist Kettle Moraine. The Lasers are victorious in the first two games, defeating our JV 1 and 2 teams quite convincingly. We're waiting for this JV 1 game to finish up here with about 2 minutes 45 seconds, and our JV 1 Blackshirts trail the JV 1 Blazers 64-42. We hope that's not an omen of things to come for the varsity matchup. There's a lot of hope for the Blackshirts in spite of losing two of arguably the best players in school history to graduation. Tyron Cook and Daniel Robinson. There's a young crop of juniors coming up, including forward Giovanni Perea, who has, I believe, over 40 points in two games, 25 points in the home opener last week against Pulaski, and I believe he had 15 in a losing effort to New Berlin West. And so this is their first conference game of the season, I believe, for both teams. And obviously it's very important to get off at the right step. When these two teams faced each other last year at Kettle Moraine in the conference opener, the Blackshirts were victorious in spite of 30-plus points from their star guard, Drew Wagner. And newsflash, Drew Wagner will not be playing tonight for the Lasers. He has he's getting over shoulder surgery related to, I think, some injuries sustained in football. And obviously Drew and his family want to be very conservative about his recovery. We did see him come in with the team, and he does have a sling. Drew committed to the Naval Academy, although there have been some rumblings that he may have foregone that commitment and is now looking at an opportunity with the University of Miami. I certainly don't want to comment on that because I don't have all the facts, but obviously a very promising young talent in football and basketball. So either way, we wish him well, and much as we'd love to see him play tonight, and I know a lot of Lasers fans would love to catch him, Blackshirt Nation has to feel pretty good about that. Although, He is not just a one-man show. Again, this team went all the way to state last year, and they did lose a few to graduation, but they also have quite a few from the sophomore and junior class that have risen up through the ranks. In particular, Will Stuckey, the 5'11 senior. Jack McSorley, the 6'3 senior. And a cast of other, you know, great support players. Blackshirt's also a pretty balanced lineup. Senior Charlie Moroz handles the point guard duties for the most part. And has support from other seniors. Brighton guard, a strong shooting guard, especially from three-point land. And Evan Stout, their senior big man, who had 9 points in his first game against Pulaski in a starting effort. And so, again, a lot of optimism towards this year's team with some good talent. There's other juniors, too. Max Hennis from the Hennis family, 6'2 junior, can do a lot at guard or forward. He's listed as a forward. You also have junior Javon Carter, a very talented 6'3 forward that can do a lot, especially in transition. They are without Morgan Schwartz, who was injured with an ankle injury on the game against New Berlin last Tuesday, and that was unfortunate because they were really looking to get some quality minutes out of Morgan Schwartz. So we'll take this opportunity to kind of give you the whole Blackshirt lineup here, starting with number zero, Antoine Eason, a senior guard, his first year with the team, 6'1", I believe a transfer from one of the Milwaukee schools. Number one, Charlie Moroz, a 6'1 guard, senior guard, amazing soccer player with a future in soccer at the collegiate level. Number two, junior guard, 5'9 junior guard, Zayas DeWalt, who can also give us some good minutes of point guard. Number three, Joseph Cost, a 5'11 junior guard. Also very capable shooting and point guard duties and strong defense. We mentioned Max Hennis, number five, the 6'2 junior forward. Number 10, senior Brighton Staub, the 6'3 forward. Number 12, Evan Stout, the 6'3 senior forward. Staub and Stout, incidentally, heading to Carroll University in Wisconsin-Eau Claire for athletics. Staub in baseball at Carroll and Stout in football for the Blue Golds of Eau Claire. Number 20, Jordan Garcia, a 6-foot freshman guard. Number 21, we mentioned Morgan Schwartz on injured reserve, 6-foot guard, junior. Number 22, 5'10 senior guard Caden Brenneman Sorensen. Number 24, junior forward, 6'4 junior forward Giovanni Perea. Number 30, 5'10 freshman guard Keegan DeGeorge, who's had some good playing time along with Garcia, diaper dandies. Number 32, Jacob Davis, the 6'3 junior forward. And number 34, junior Michael Frederick, 6'3 junior forward, who also gets some quality time on JV. So those are your black shirts, and their head coach, who's actually tomorrow's guest on This Week in Waukesha, is Lee Montez. You might remember 2 seasons ago he was named the Classic 8 Assistant Coach of the Year in a conference championship effort. And after 20-plus years of assistant coaching duties, has finally gotten the nod to be the head coach after the retirement, if you will, of Bo Richter. His assistants are Cody Hurtado, Aaron Wenninger, Andy Krinko, Austin Stick, Ben Bodart, and Juan Lascano. The Blackshirts athletic director is also vice principal Dan Schreier. Principal's Maria D'Amato. Assistant principals Brian Groschek and Liz Gould, and superintendent Dr. James Siebert. Kettle Moraine is coach in his first year as well. Brian Reichert, and his assistants are Pete Rortvedt and Alex Olson. And the athletic director, very capable and very classy athletic director, Ryan Tomczyk. The associate principals are Jill Dilbert and Lori Dittmar. And their principal is Justin Bester. So it's a youth night here. So all the different youth squads for the Blackshirts have been welcomed out to the floor, and former coach Bo Richter is out there with him. He's really taking control of Waukesha South youth basketball. And real class move, the varsity team on both ends of the receiving line coming in and going to the end here slapping the kids' hands, and that's a big deal. The football team had a tradition like that too, and it means a lot to the young kids when the varsity players wish them well and slap hands. So another team comes out. These guys are probably third and fourth graders, but you love it. So anyway, so much going on here in Waukesha and in Waukesha South. We have some volunteers from the Marching Band getting ready for the cookie walk tomorrow morning. And you want to get here early because these are homemade cookies made by volunteers. All proceeds, I believe, go to the Marching Band. And I believe it starts at 9, and I know a lot of these cookies have been known to disappear or be sold out by 9:30 or 10, so really make your plans early. In fact, you can catch my show from 7 to 9 tomorrow. Lee Montez, again, is my first guest at 7 a.m., and then Mayor Sean Riley joins me at 8 to talk about the Christmas parade on Sunday, another big, obviously, a very important community event, and a lot of other holiday happening. So much going on here. I know tonight at Retzer Nature Preserve, there's a holiday function at the planetarium and maybe even a lighted walk to bring in the holidays. And, of course, we have our tree lighting here at the Rotunda here in downtown, as well as a holiday walk through downtown. That's a very special event. Very bummed to be missing it, but very glad to also be here for the inaugural Friday night game of the week for high school basketball. And next week, mark your calendars, Waukesha South travels to Waukesha North to face the crosstown rival North Stars. Always a very important rivalry. So as we see Melissa Zannon Brown now walk into the field house, the president of the Boosters. And also the mother of senior basketball player Evan Stout. And she gets a warm hug from one of her students. Really great scene here. So, and we're also pleased to announce on this week in Waukesha, next Saturday morning, the Gina Nordrum of Waukesha South is my guest. She's a family and consumer ed teacher, but she leads the SALT program, which is a student athlete leadership training program, and she's bringing a couple, maybe three students with her, and we're going to get a good glimpse at our future leaders here in the Shaw, as well as learn more about a really dedicated teacher and student leader in her own right, Gina Nordrum. She's here on hand coordinating a lot of the activities we have here at the Youth Night. There's photos with the players, and then again, just over in the cafeteria just next door, a lot of planning for the cookie walk. So, and now the youth are filling the bleachers too. Very excited to cheer on the varsity black shirts as they got next, if you will. Clock shows less than 15 minutes. So I think now we'll take a quick break here on the Waukesha High School Basketball Network here at WAUK. Calvin, take it away, please, for a 30-second break.
Earl Ingram.
If all the other things globally aren't enough to give us pause, healthcare premiums rose 8% this year. And so corporations are starting to feel the strain of offering health care to their employees, and more of them are abdicating that. What are people to do?
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Welcome back to Waukesha South High School Fieldhouse. And it's quite the party atmosphere here. A lot of young players. If we have any black shirts getting injuries, we've got abundance of young players that would love to get out there in spite of their height limitations. They got a lot of hustle and a lot of spirit, a lot of energy. So both teams are warming up. The Lasers have... Lasers are dark and gold. They have the pants are like Indiana's, but instead of the cream and crimson stripes, it's the purple and gold, kind of looking like Laker stripes. They have white T-shirts with the team brand on there. And then the black shirts are in their home white jerseys with the black sweaters with the Blackie logo face on the front. So I don't know if I gave you the kettle moraine lineup, so we'll do that real quick.
Number zero, Tana Gwankowski, is a 5'10 junior. Number one, Jack McSorley, is a 6'3 senior. Number two, Charlie Dunham is a 5'10 sophomore. Number three, Will Stuckey, is a 5'11 senior. Number four, Zach Fremming, is a 6'4 junior. Number five, Jonathan Sobiek, is a 6' senior. Number six, Pete Garvin, is a 5'11 senior. Number 11, Nathan Vuam is a 6'3 senior. Number 12, Ben Bester, is a 6' junior. Number 15, Teague Kowalski, is a 6'4 junior. Number 21, Jack Barker, is a 5'10 junior. Number 23, Roman Thompson, is a 6'4 junior. And number 24, Brayden Phelan, is a 6'2 senior. And then number 25, Ian Gahagan, is a 5'10 junior. And number 32, Luke Targos, rounds up the lineup, a 6'7 junior. And as I recall from previous Laser teams, they travel heavy. They bring probably three, four different lineups here. And they are led by first-year coach Brian Rickert and his assistants, again, Pete Rortvedt and Alex Olson. So, and again, another shout-out to athletic director Ryan Tomczyk, who's always been a gracious host when we've played at Kettle Moraine, be it in football or basketball. So, and in all the other sports that we compete with KM in. So, clock showing less than 12 minutes before the tip-off, which coincides with our watch here. And we are going to have some halftime guests, including some Waukesha South parents, talking about some other activities going on here as we head into the holiday season. And that, I would believe, with some of these fundraisers include some great, some terrific gift ideas. So lots to look forward to here tonight. Let's see. So we have a battle of first-year coaches. Again, Lee Montez for Waukesha South after 20. I believe it's popular among the kids. They like him as a coach, and they have. They've been around him for many years, as long as he's been associated with the program. We're watching him now get familiar with the referees. We don't have any starting lineups yet, so we will know that will be forthcoming in the next few minutes. And I'll tell you what, as we're getting closer to the national anthem and starting lineups, Calvin, let's go. Let's break now for station identification here on the Waukesha Friday basketball game of the week.
You're listening to The Shaw. WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Shaw South High School. The captains have assembled with the referees, captains from both teams. Waukesha South's captains are Charlie Moroz, all three seniors, Charlie Moroz, Evan Stout, and Brighton Staub. Don't have numbers for the Lasers if they have their T-shirts on still. But I'm sure we'll become quite familiar with them as the game starts. We do have a three-man officiating crew. I know last time they played in the New Berlin West game, a non-conference game, there are only two officials on duty. And I have been told there has been an issue with a referee shortage. And so I know that's something that the WIAA is focusing in on, and I'm sure a lot of conferences are at the local level to find good men and women to help with officiating the games here. So clock showing about 8 minutes from the tip-off. So I think we'll take another break here on the on the Waukesha High School Friday Night Game of the Week network here at WAUK. Calvin, take it away for a one-minute break, please.
As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Brittany, how many barometers do you own?
It's a meteorologist thing.
Tell us the truth.
I've got four in my house right now.
That's not terrible.
I scaled down.
How many did you used to have?
I give them as gifts now.
Are you re-gifting me a barometer, Brittany?
We're down to four. That sounds manageable.
As goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alma Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons. Some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are. But we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alma Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
And we're back. Waukesha South Fieldhouse. And Ethan Check just entered the building. One of the stars from the Classic A championship team back in 22. And had a strong finish as a senior in 2023 as they made a playoff appearance. So, always good to see him. Let's see if there's any other luminaries here in the crowd. Hey, I want to do a big shout out too. Please be sure to support Waukesha Small Business this Christmas time. And a good time to do that is at the 60th Annual Christmas Parade sponsored by the Waukesha Chamber of Commerce. That'll take place at 4 o'clock this Sunday in downtown Waukesha. And at 3 o'clock, yours truly and my team at Walk Radio will be doing a pre-parade broadcast at 3 o'clock so you can get to meet some of the exhibitors and get a flavor on what you can expect before you head on down there. Might even have some good tips on where to park and where to line up. So be sure to tune us in. And be sure to download the Civic Media app because while you are at the parade early setting up, you can get the scoop on what's going on. And we will be interviewing a few small business owners, including our sponsor, Mary Mai at Mary Jane's, a wonderful store with hemp-inspired fashions and gifts, Main Street, right next door to People's Park there. So, and hey, any of you guys looking for a great haircut too, head on over to El Chisme there in the Five Points and ask for Sean. Sean cut my hair yesterday. It's probably the best haircut I've had, since the roof started going thin. I look like one of those handsome astronauts from yesteryear. So, hey, big shout out to my buddy Sean. Sean has a few friends on the team, including Giovanni Pere and Jordan Garcia, good friends with his folks. And, he's been cutting hair for a lot of these student-athletes here for more than 20 years. He's actually good friends with the Wisconsin, the Badger wide receiver, who was a star at Waukesha North. And I apologize, I don't quite remember his name. I've been so busy covering Carroll University football this year that haven't really been able to keep up with the Badgers. I was only really able to catch a couple of the games. So the Hennis family has come in to cheer their son Max on and the rest of the black shirts. So really good turnout here. Won't be long before it'll be hard to see any wood on the bleachers as they fill it in for this very big game. And for sure, the Lasers will put on a great show. And the big question will be, how will the black shirts deliver? How will they come out with the home court advantage and a lot of momentum here on this first day of December heading into the holiday season? And, boy, that surely would be a good Christmas gift for all of us if we could start the Classic 8 1-0 after tonight. And I'm sure Laser Nation, is thinking the same way. And also here in attendance is Steve Staub, the athletic trainer at Carroll University, and vice president of the Booster Club. He's actually sitting next to the president, Melissa Zanna Brown. And obviously a keen interest in the senior forward number 10, Brighton Staub, his son. And a lot to look forward to with this senior year with Brighton as he really was a breakout year for him in baseball as a left-handed relief pitcher. And he had some playing time, too, with the Blackshirts in basketball. So a lot of excited parents and siblings and fans here. It's neat to see a lot of people that they don't have any children or grandchildren playing, but they went to South, and they are forever Southie, bleeding black and red, and here to cheer on the black shirts. Student section starting to fill in quite nicely. It doesn't look like a theme night tonight, but I've been wrong before here. As we head about a little more than 2 minutes before tip-off and starting announcements. So we see more family members coming in. See Billy Schwartz there. We saw Morgan Schwartz on crutches, and the good news is that it was not a break, not a fracture, but he will need some time for healing and recovery. And if there's any good news about that, it's there's that big break around Christmas time, so he won't be missing too much action, just what's going on in the month of December. But I know for a young junior, that still feels like an eternity, missing all that time. So good to see my good friend and former constituent, Manuel Rocha. He's got a son in the youth program and found himself a nice seat here near the 50-yard line to cheer on the Black Shirts varsity. So much black and red here tonight from all ages, too, and in particular the youth program. A lot of junior Black Shirts in training.